How does Joseph's life act as a portrait of Jesus? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Joseph goes through all kinds of ignominious shame. All kinds of terrible, horrible things happen to him, but by the providence of God and the hand of God is upon him, and God takes him from the pit, and God exalts him and gives him a name which is above every name. Joseph now is lifted up. What a transformation. Despised, rejected, slain in a figure, languishing in prison, is brought out, enthroned. What a picture of our dear Savior Jesus.
And welcome to our study in God's Word today on Love Worth Finding. As we've just heard from acclaimed pastor and Bible teacher Adrian Rogers, God has given us many prophetic portraits of His Son, Jesus, all through the Scriptures. Today, as we continue in Pastor Rogers' series, Practicing the Presence of God, we're taking a look at the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Now, Joseph was a beloved son and a suffering servant. Sound familiar? His story foreshadowed the life of Jesus Christ. Today, we'll hear about two episodes in his life that greatly reflect the stories in the Gospels. If you have your Bible handy, we'll be in Genesis chapter 37. Turn there now if you can and follow along as Adrian Rogers reveals Joseph, a portrait of Jesus.
God loves his son so much that he wants to give us many snapshots, many portraits of him. And God wants us to be saved so much that he gives us so many illustrations of salvation. Now, in the life of Joseph, you're going to see Joseph as he is his father's favorite. Then you're going to find him as he is misused and abused by his brethren. Then you're going to find Joseph as he rises to be the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. And then you're going to find Joseph as he receives his brothers back and forgives them, restores them, and commissions them. Now we're thinking of Jesus, the beloved son, as pictured in the life of Joseph. Jacob had given to Joseph a special name. Do you know what the name Joseph means? It means abundance. It means one who adds to. It means a multiplier. And that's what Joseph was. What does the name Jesus mean? It means Jehovah saves. And he is the one also whose life is full of abundance. You see, Jesus said of Satan, the thief comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy. Who is the thief? Satan. He is the great subtractor. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He is the Joseph who adds to, who multiplies, who gives abundance. And so again, Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, the beloved Son. Now let's move to the second thing. Not only do we see a portrait of Jesus, the beloved Son, but we also see a portrait of Jesus, the suffering servant. How did Joseph suffer? Well, first of all there was the suffering of a conspiracy. Look in verse 18, Genesis 37, verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, that's Joseph, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. He suffered a conspiracy. Well, did Jesus suffer conspiracy? Put down in your Bible, Matthew 26, verses 3 and 4. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted they that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. Exactly the same. Here's a conspiracy against Joseph. Here's a conspiracy against Jesus. Now, not only did he suffer conspiracy, but he suffered abuse. Now, what did they do to Joseph? Genesis 37, verses 23 and 24. And it came to pass when Joseph came near unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. That is, he's put there in an empty pit that he cannot get out of, no sustenance. He is put there to death. Actually, they are trying to kill him. What a picture of the sufferings of Christ. Notice Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 26. Then released he, that is, then Pilate released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Joseph is stripped out of his coat of many colors. Jesus is stripped out of his seamless robe. Joseph descends into the pit, and Jesus goes down into the very pit of death. What a picture! What a picture of Jesus. And now Joseph is the slain one. The parallel with Jesus is so incredible. Joseph is slain in a figure, in a type, not in reality. But what did they do? Notice here in chapter 37, verse 31, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and brought it unto their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it is thy son's coat or not. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt rent or torn in pieces. And Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days." In the mind of Jacob, Joseph is dead. Can you imagine? Here's the old patriarch whose favorite son is Joseph, the son of Rachel, his wife, his true beloved. And they bring to him this coat that shows his distinction, the father's mark that's set upon him, that the birthright was upon him. And they bring this blood-sprinkled coat and give it to old Jacob. And he says, "My son is dead." He is dead. And in the eyes of his brothers, he was dead also. They expected him to die. Here is the blood-sprinkled garment brought to the father. Friend, one day long ago, the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus, was brought to heaven and sprinkled on the mercy seat there in front of the Father. Notice the parallels here that are incredible. Here is Joseph, the sent one, the scorned one, the suffering one, the slain one. What a picture of Jesus. Now let's move to the third thing. God wants to speak to you today. And you may not even be a Christian, but this, oh, how this applies to you. First of all, we see the beloved Son. Then we see the suffering servant. And now we see a portrait of Jesus, the exalted sovereign. Joseph goes through all kinds of ignominious shame. I don't have time to tell you what happened to him as he's falsely accused and cast into prison. All kinds of terrible, horrible things happen to him, but by the providence of God and the hand of God is upon him, and God takes him from the pit and from the prison, and God exalts him and gives him a name which is above every name. Joseph now is lifted up. I want you to see in Genesis 41, fast forward to Genesis chapter 41, and let's look in verse 38. "And Pharaoh said to his servants, Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all these, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word, all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, robed him in vestures of fine linen," and that's pure white, "and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him," before Joseph, riding along in that chariot, "Bow the knee!" And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." What a transformation! Despised, rejected, slain in a figure, languishing in prison, is brought up, brought out, enthroned. What a picture of our dear Savior, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, it speaks of Jesus who has gone into the heavens and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. The same parallel. And again, I love Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," Jesus, "and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." As Joseph is riding along there in the chariot, there goes a herald out there and says to everyone, "Bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee." A man says, "I don't want to bow." He says, "You will bow." That's Joseph. Bow the knee. Saddam Hussein will bow the knee. Hitler will bow the knee. You will bow the knee. You will. "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And there's old Joseph riding in the chariot, and there goes the herald saying, "Bow the knee to Joseph." Look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 41, verse 45. "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah." Good night, what a name. Well, that's Egyptian. Get ready for a blessing. You know what that means? It means Savior of the world. That's what it means. That's the new name he's given, Savior of the world. Taylor, however, in his translation, gives it this way: "He has the godlike power of life and death." That's the name given to this man, Joseph. He has the power of life and death, given a new name. And our glorified Savior also is given a new name. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, the Bible says he's given a name written that no man knows except him who receives it. Jesus will mean something to you that he doesn't mean to this world in his new name. Now, here's the next thing. We're talking about our glorified Lord now, and how he's pictured by Joseph. He is exalted. He is given a new name. And now he's presented with a Gentile bride. Look, if you will, in Genesis 41, verse 45, "And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and he gave to him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out all over the land of Egypt." Now he's given not a Jewish bride, but he's given a Gentile bride. After his exaltation, he is given a bride. Who is the bride of Jesus? He has a Gentile bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can find that in Ephesians chapter 5. That's why I love the church, because the church is the bride of Christ, not this building, we the people. Amen. If you want to have trouble with Adrian, you abuse his bride. Don't do that. I tell you, don't abuse the bride of Christ. Jesus loves his bride. He loves us. He's working on us that he might present us to himself a spotless bride without spot or blemish or any such thing. And now we're talking about the exalted sovereign. Notice this one now who is exalted. Notice this one who's given a new name. Notice this one now who's given a Gentile bride. What is the culmination of all of it? He, my friend, is the only hope of a dying world. The only way that this world could have been saved back in Joseph's time was what Joseph had done when he made provision. Notice Genesis 41 and verse 55. "And when all the land of Egypt was famished," that is, the people are dying, "the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he saith unto you, do. And the famine was all over the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came to Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was sore in all the lands." Is not this absolutely amazing? Here is Joseph, a despised and rejected Jew, the only hope of all the world. They go to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, "Go to Joseph." And he has plenty. His supply is without number. Go back to Genesis 41 and look, if you will, in 49. "And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. Joseph, the only hope in that day. Who's the only hope in this day? What's his name?
Jesus.
The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I want to tell you that there's no shortage to the supply of Jesus either. And out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. And the Bible says, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I want you to see a portrait of Jesus now, the seeking Savior. You see, like Jesus, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Turn to chapter 45. I want you to see how Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. Genesis 45, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. He's there in the palace, and he says to all the attendants, go away. And there stood no man with him. Now watch this. While Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. These are the ones that put him to death in a figure. These are the ones that scorned him, conspired against him. And he wept aloud, that is, Joseph, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Listen, Joseph now reveals himself to his brothers. May I tell you something? They would never have known who Joseph was had Joseph not revealed himself to them. He's now older. He's dressed like an Egyptian. He's there speaking the Egyptian language. The only way that they could know him was for him to say, look, I'm Joseph. The only way that you'll know Jesus is for Jesus to reveal himself to you. You'll never figure him out. But Jesus is saying to you, I am Jesus. I'm the Son of God. I want to save you. So you lay your intellectual pride in the dust and let him reveal himself. Now, like Jesus, Joseph revealed himself to his brethren. Like Jesus, Joseph forgave and restored his brothers. Look in chapter 45, verses 4 and 5. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, and I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. What love and what grace! Tragedy has become triumph. Notice in these verses, he gives an invitation. He says, come to me. And they came, they responded, and they came to him. I'm going to give an invitation on behalf of Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to come to Jesus. And I hope you'll do what the brethren of Joseph did when they came to Joseph. Now, when Joseph said, don't feel bad, he's not trying to minimize their sin. What he is doing is maximizing the grace of God. A Calvary, from man's viewpoint, was earth's greatest tragedy. From God's viewpoint, it was earth's greatest triumph. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And when hell was doing its worst, God was doing his best when Jesus died upon that cross. Do you see the picture here? Do you see the parallel? Not only did he convict his brothers and reveal himself to them, not only did he forgive them and restore them, but here finally he commissioned his brothers. Notice in verse 4 what he says here. He says, come. And then if you go to verse 9, look in verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Our faith is summed up in this. Come to me, go to all the world. Joseph says to his brothers, come to me, come here. I will forgive you. I will restore you. Now, I want you to go and I want you to tell the message. And what were they to tell? Look in Genesis 45, verse 26. And they told him, that is their father, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had sent unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. They are going now as evangelists, his brothers, The ones who put him to death have now been forgiven and restored. And here's the message. You want to know what your message is? If you're a child of God, here it is. We once rejected him. Now he has been raised on high. Now he's been given a name which is above every name. Now the world is at his feet. He is the fairest of 10,000. He has forgiven our sins. He wants us to be with him and share his glory. And that's the message that they preached. They preached Joseph, risen, rich, and reigning. And that's the Jesus that I'm preaching today. That's the gospel according to Joseph. Isn't it amazing? I say, is that not amazing? How could God so long ago in the first book in the Bible paint such a portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ? God wants you saved. He wants you to know Jesus. And what Joseph said to his brothers, come to me, he's saying to you, if you've never come, come. And what Joseph said to those who have come, Jesus is saying to you, go tell the others. Tell them that I'm not dead, but I'm alive. I am now at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I have made provision for you, and I want you to come and live with me forever. Do you want to be saved? Pray like this. Dear God, I know that you love me. I know that you want to save me. I have sinned against you. I've been selfish and self-centered. I've been living for myself and self alone. But now I need you. I turn my life over to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid for my sin with your blood. I believe that you did. I believe you walked out of that grave. You promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you now with all of my heart. Come into my heart. Come, Jesus, into my heart. Come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Save me, Jesus. Pray that prayer. Pray it and mean it. Save me, Lord Jesus. Did you ask him? Then by an act of faith, thank him for doing it. Say, thank you for saving me, Jesus. I trust you to do it. And that settles it. Begin now to make me the person you want me to be. I'm weak, but you're strong. Start with me where I am, Lord Jesus, and go with me all the way. I give you my heart. I trust you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
And if you've prayed to receive Jesus today, we would love to hear about your decision. Go to our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials there to help you get started on this new Christian walk. There's also a portion at the bottom of the webpage where you have an opportunity to write us about your decision. Welcome to the family of God. We can't wait to hear from you. Again, go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message on CD, call 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, Joseph, A Portrait of Jesus. You'll receive the entire lesson on your single CD. This message is also part of the powerful series, Practicing the Presence of God. For that complete collection, 5 insightful messages, call the number 1-877-LOVE-GOD or go to lwf.org/radio to order. Or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying with us in God's Word today. Remember, as Adrian Rogers said, our faith is summed up in this, come to me, go to all the world. Tell someone the story of Jesus today and tune in next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener in California wrote to us not too long ago and said this, I have enjoyed the Bible lessons I've been receiving in the morning. They're encouraging, they're so insightful, and Dr. Rogers is a great teacher. I hope to listen for a long time to come. Well, thanks for that encouragement. We hope you get to listen for a long time, too. Your story inspires us as we continue to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministry of Adrian Rogers. You know, this ministry is sustained solely by donations, so we are grateful for those who come alongside us and pray for us and give. This month, as a thank you for your generosity, we'd love to send you the Build Your Faith booklet collection. This bundle includes 5 insightful booklets to help you better understand the character of Jesus Christ so you might be made more like him. Request this bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. or give online at lwf.org/radio.